I'm grateful for Marta. She's reading a challenging scripture today. And as she comes up, I just want to give you a quick little context creation for you. And so we're working our way through Revelation. We get to the hardest part, or actually sometimes people like this part the most. I tend to not like this part at all. So you might have lots of different feelings. But know that it is crowded, as someone said at Bible study. I think the scripture is kind of like going to a fire hydrant saying, I'd like a little sip of water, and turning it on. It is filled with images. Filled with images. And it comes from a section in which John is writing to the church that is struggling with persecution. And he is trying to paint what they are living, paint the picture of life in terms of something bigger than anyone's particular individual circumstances. So, I invite you to listen for the word of God.
This is from Revelations 13, verses 1 through 18. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on its horns were 10 diadems, and on its heads were blasphemous names. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And the dragon gave it his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have received a death blow, but its mortal wound had been healed. In amazement, the whole earth followed the beast. They worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" The beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it also was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. It was given authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the inhabitants of the earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that was slaughtered. Let anyone who has an ear listen. If you are to be taken captive, into captivity you go. If you kill with the sword you must be killed. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast that rose out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast on its behalf, and it makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound had been healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in the sight of all. And by the signs that it is allowed to perform on behalf of the beast, it deceives the inhabitants of earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that had been wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast could even speak and cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell who does not have the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let anyone with understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a person. Its number is 666.
The This is the word of the Lord. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and... You all knew that. Did you know that, Donna? It's an American trick. Part of our Constitution. How many of you took a long time to think of what came next? You knew it. You just knew it. It's part of our culture. It's part of our history. In fact, it's in a lot of music and arts, as well as our Constitution. You just know it. Today's scripture is like that in the sense that there's a lot of stuff that you just know, but we don't know it. It is a scripture that is written trying to help unlock or serving as like glasses looking at time. What's going on? Who are we? How do we fit into it? So the best way for me to help you is to try to explain that a little bit. So we're looking at all the story of Revelation, and we get to this one that's complicated. And there's all these images. Here's the images we've been using each week that convey the scripture that we're looking at. A time of persecution. If you do not recognize the emperor as the one that brings everybody together, the emperor with the titles of Lord and Savior, then you are not a good Roman citizen. You are worthy of being thrown out or killed or excluded from your jobs. You have to fit in. And that means you need to recognize the emperor as the most important, the empire of Rome as the saving grace in all the world. Now, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that could be a little bit problematic, because Caesar is the antithesis of Jesus. The power of Rome comes through the sword and through the spilling of blood. And the power of Jesus comes through the cross and the giving of his blood. They are opposites. One is a perversion of the other. And that's what John's talking about. Let me give you another example. How many of you know exactly what the dragon and the beast and 666 mean? That's usually what we read about this. I thought, you know, I'm just not really sure, so I think I will go to Google and find out what it means. And this is what Google told me, is the next slide. This is who the Antichrist is. There's a lot of answers. Turns out to be Obama or Trump most of the time. We say that we make God in our own image, but I wonder if we make the Antichrist or the enemy of God in the image of the people we don't like. Seems to be what Google, in all of its unwisdom, is revealing to us. This scripture, I don't like it because I have heard it so many times, and it seems like most of the time what's being said about it is people are just saying what they want to say. And they use the Bible as justification of why this person is bad, or why these people are evil, or why this group is the best. But that's not what John is writing about. This week, there is a video that dropped, and I had thought about showing it in worship, and I had this great long conversation on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you can see it. I thought it was very powerful. And it is a song and a video called This Is America, and it's by a rap group called Childish Gambino. You might not have ever heard of them, but it has been the talk of our nation in certain circles for the past week. And it is a song that is all about the troubles and the uncertainties that we are facing in our country today in terms of identity, in terms of community, in terms of agency, in terms of equality, in terms of what is happening in life. And I am not going to show it to you. If you want to watch it, you can do so. Either get a martini or take an Advil as you do it, and then read a few articles before you talk to me. Because it is loaded. It is loaded. It's crowded with images. And in fact, you actually need someone else to help you see all of the images in there. Much like Revelation. And so here is the first image in the video. And it is of this man who is dancing and then suddenly pulls out a gun and shoots someone in the head. Now, at first glance, you'd say, oh my gosh, that's horrific violence. It's the same old images we see all the time. African Americans and guns, it's always the same old thing, the same old images, bad stereotypes that are played up and lifted up again and again. And if you're watching this, this is when you're going to be like, what? There's four more minutes of this? But if you know, on the next slide, if you know what this picture is, that's over 100 years old, of Jim Crow, who was lifted up as a folk hero among the slaves in the early 1800s, and then who was a persona that was taken on by a white man who would do skits in which black people were made fun of, was given the name of Jim Crow, and he would dress like this. And Jim Crow eventually, throughout the 1800s, came to be a very negative word, and became so negative that by the end of the 1800s, after the Civil War, when laws were being created to stamp down African Americans so that they could not be equal, it was given the name of Jim Crow. Now, if you look at the body stance of Jim Crow in the picture, that's what Jim Crow always looks like. And if you look at the stance of the rapper in the video, you can see that it is the exact same body stance. And so it is this image of violence that seems simple that's being reread through history, through stereotypes, questioning why do we think what we think? Astute. And yet if you just look at it in a fleeting way, you will think one thing, but they're actually trying to say something much more profound about race and identity. The last image is the next one. The last image of the video is this. It ends after this, the main guy is dancing the whole time. It ends with him running down a dark hallway, and he is running, and then it closes up on his face, and it is a face of horror. We never know who's chasing him. And yet it's an image that evokes a lot of things. Stephen Clark killed in his backyard for having a cell phone. Other people being shot in the back while they are running from the police. Questions of, well, why would you run from the police? Other questions of, why wouldn't you run from the police? Lots of questions. The next slide shows you the picture. Let's see, is that the next one? There you go. This is another picture. And if you have seen the movie Get Out, if you're on top of it, you might say, of pop culture in America, this is the picture in Get Out, which is a horror story about black people being oppressed and their bodies being stolen and given to white people because black bodies are better. It's a story. Crazy, but deep. And it is the same image. The man in the movie is being tricked and basically killed. And it's the same face. An image of horror reread through culture. Now, can you go to the next one, Albert? If you just look at the video, it is shocking. It is very shocking. And yet if you look at it and if you break it down and you unpack it, you'll see that this video that at first glance seems to be about this singer surrounded by black children in school uniforms just dancing while all these horrible crimes are happening around them. You might think at first, oh my gosh, they're just clueless. They just know how to sing and dance and, oh, that looks great. They're really pretty. And that is a weird video. But when you start looking at all the different images and unpacking it, you start to see that it's a lot of comments about the complexity of life today. Not just for black Americans, but for all Americans. Why do we think what we think? What are the assumptions that we have about one another? And why do we settle for certain things, for certain people? It is unsettling for a reason. It's meant to make you ask those questions. Who am I? Who are we together? What is my responsibility for my neighbor? Am I my brother or my sister's keeper? Now, I tell you all that because this is the exact same thing that's happening in Revelation 12, 13, and 14. They don't have hip-hop or rap, but they do have other things that are going on. So if you look at the story, You might not quite know all of the different things that are happening, so I just want to lay out a few things. How many of you know about Apollo? He's the god of sun. And he was born to a woman named Leto, who had gotten pregnant with the king of the god Zeus. And when she was having her baby, a dragon called Python tried to eat the baby. And this supposedly happens on the islands of Delos. Has anybody been to Delos? Do you know where it is? Oh, where is it, Louise?
It's just off Mykonos.
And do you know of any other islands that are close to Mykonos? Phimos? And Palmos, the island on which John is living when he writes this book. Right nearby. The emperors said that they were the new Apollos, that they had come to bring a new golden age. That is what Caesar Augustus said. And so he was worthy of being worshipped as a god because he was as good as Apollo. Now, if you read Revelation 12, you'll read the story of a dragon that tries to eat a baby that is being born to a woman. Coincidence? Maybe not. Let's go to the next slide. There's a dragon. Go to the next one. If you look in today's scripture, there's lots of creatures, but there is a beast that comes out of the water named Leviathan, and here's the scripture about it. That's kind of an interpretation of what it might look like. Can you go to the next one? If you look at the scripture on your left is from Daniel. It has almost the exact same description. Maybe almost 1,000 years earlier. If you go to the next slide, you'll see some more scriptures that come from Revelation a little bit earlier that say the same things as Revelation 13, that everyone in the world bowed down and worshiped this horrible beast who was given all authority. Who can stand against it? And just a few chapters earlier, we're told that Jesus is given all the authority of all the nations and tribes, and who can stand against his goodness? Let's go to the next slide. Then there's this crazy creature, or then there's Leviathan, that same creature from the sea, who was seen as the god of chaos, or the embodiment of chaos, everything resisting the goodness of evil. And here's some scripture from an ancient book. We're going to go to the next one. There's tons of stuff here. The scripture ends with this other beast on the land, and then it ends with the sign of the beast, 666. And this is something called gematria. And here is the Hebrew alphabet and numbers. It's an ancient system. We still use it today in different cultures, even in English culture, English-speaking culture, where each letter is representative of a value. And so words will have values. If you have ever given $18 to someone who is Jewish, do you know why you would do that? Why 18 is a good number? It's because the Hebrew word for life adds up to 18. And if you add up the letters in Hebrew for Emperor Nero Caesar, it adds up, according to the list, to 666. Now, lots of people will go back and interpret that and say, oh, no, it's actually President Obama. No, it's President Trump. No, it was Hitler. No, it was this. No, it's definitely Monty. We don't know for sure. Because the thing is, you have to know the word in order to get the exact number. It's hard to take the number and work back to the word. Now, is it trying to hide something, or is it just a way of saying something that's deeper than words? There's all these little things in the scripture that we don't quite know about. Did you know that Emperor Nero was the first emperor to persecute the Christians? Did you know that he was the sixth emperor? Did you know that he burned down Rome because he wanted to rebuild it, supposedly, and then he said, oh, it was the Christians who did it. Let's lock them up or let's kill them in the Colosseum. Did you know that Emperor Nero committed suicide? Did you know that in the ancient times they said that Emperor Nero had resurrected and that he would come again and that he would kill all of the Christians that next time? It was common knowledge, not today, but 2,000 years ago. So when you read about this beast who died but came back and would come again, sure seems to be a lot like Nero. this emperor who was horrible for everybody's standards, who died and would come again. So what is John trying to say with all these crazy images of Apollo and the python, of the animal from the ocean, of the animal, the beast on the land, of 666, of all these horrible things? What is he trying to say? It's a lot like the video, where there's these images of horror and violence that actually are an expression of radical hope. The thing is, you have to know what the images are. Now, we are not conversant necessarily in Greek mythology or ancient mythical Mesopotamian stories. We are probably a little bit more up on Hollywood movies, latest novels, or songs on the radio. John is writing his message to the people of his time to give them hope. Remember, they're people who are persecuted. They're being persecuted for being Christian. They're being excluded from society, excluded from their work. They're being deemed unpatriotic, treasonous, worthy of death, bad Romans, horrible people. Because they will not recognize the emperor as the ultimate force in the world. Now, they're not saying the emperor is not in charge. They just refuse to say that the emperor is sovereign over all things. In our own country today, we have similar stories. I think of Colin Kaepernick, who no longer can play football. And you might have different thoughts about him, but he can no longer play football because he started not standing up for the national anthem to call for him and his actions, for calling attention to the suffering and the oppression of Black African Americans. And for his action, he has been deemed by many people unpatriotic and unfit to be American. There are other people who have gone to jail who have done similar things. Or there are other people who are deemed perfect because of what they've done. I was at Costco this week, and I was killing time looking at the books. And I overheard someone talking to a woman. And the man was a Caucasian man like myself. The woman was an Iranian woman. And he said to her, "Thank God we finally have a real man as president. We haven't had one for about 20 years. And then he told the woman about what was wrong with her country and how we were going to fix her country. Now, it's political, but everything's political, right? And so whether you think Colin Kaepernick is unpatriotic, or you think that this man in Costco is unpatriotic, it's a similar thing. It's a similar situation that the Christians are facing in the time of John. Are you a good Roman? You don't seem to be, because you're not doing what everybody else does. Why do you do what you do? Who do you think you are? Those are the questions we're faced with today. Not just as Americans, but as Christians. Why do you do what you do? If you look at the political debates today, you could say that Christians are either on one side or the other. And the ones on the left hate the ones on the right, and the ones on the right hate the ones on the left. We are divided. Who are we? What are we called to? What are we doing? Where is God in the midst of all the horrible things that are happening? There's still cancer, there's still famine, there's still war. Where is God? What hope is there? Why should we even trust or believe? It's going to cost us everything. Why even do that? Now, it's hard because we're not hearing the end of the story, which is very good in Revelation. Come back in 2 weeks and you'll hear. You can come back next week too. But the point John is saying is that life is hard. Life is complex. It's more than just what you see on the surface like that video. If you just look at the surface, you might see one thing without seeing what's really there. And life being hard and complex is not a bad thing. It's just how things are. And so who is God if God is in all of that? Who is God if God is silent at times and God is loud at other times? If God intercedes and does miracles at some times and seems to be asleep at the wheel at other times? Who is God? Where is God? And who am I? And what am I called to? John's writing this not just to one person, Susie Christian, who lived in Ephesus. He writes it to all the Christians, saying, you are not alone. Life is hard, but you are not alone. And God will see us through. And whether you see it or not, God is at work in the world. And when you can't see it, you need someone else to help you. And if they can't see it either, then you just need to hug each other and cry it out. And trust, as the psalmist says, that joy comes in the morning. That God has given us a new song, that God is at work in the world. We all face the same situation. I doubt any of us are going to be persecuted, lined up, and shot for being Christian today or the next week. But we are faced with the challenge of what does it mean to be Christian? If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, Jesus is the one you're following, what does that mean for you? Your relationships, how you spend your money and your time at work, how you treat other people, how you treat yourself. It's easy to give up. It's easy to compromise. Easy to doubt. Those things aren't bad in themselves. The problem is that when we do those things, we negate what God has given us. We pervert the way in which God sees us. That we are loved. That you are made in God's holy and good image. That God wants good for you. And your good is inseparable from the good of everyone else. As we meditate on the scripture, I want to invite you to meditate on it as we sing this next hymn that is a proclamation of God's justice. And as we sing that, I want to invite you to think about how is God speaking to you, to encourage you to hang in there, to help someone else, to not give up, to stay alive. And at the end of that hymn, we're going to be doing a confession of faith together that comes to us from our Wednesday night Celtic group. So I'm thankful to them. And if you'd like those words, it's printed in the bulletin. But I want to invite you to sing and have the song evoke within you how you need God's justice and how you hunger for that. And then we'll confess that together. Let's stand as we are able.